the preacher in this service, I told my wife, I had two messages that I have been struggling over which direction to preach about this evening. And the service has just been, tip for tap on those two issues all night long. Just this, you was all over it. She was singing about grace. But I want to deal tonight what the preacher was dealing with at the beginning of the service. Then Brother Silas mentioned the word of overcoming. And the preacher was talking, the pastor was talking about in the beginning of the service, the issue of the last days we're living in, what we're facing in this generation that we're living in. And we are in, I believe I'm in 100% agreement with your pastor and this dear man of God. I believe with all my heart. And it's not just young babies and children that will be alive. I believe, I'm not a date sitter, and just to go on record, I'm with you against Joel Osteen and against the rest of the crowd and the hirelings and the heretics and the lunatics walking our land and on our airways and byways. And you do need to have a good burning and get rid of that mess. Amen. 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 Why would you support the devil and his business? Amen. Hey, listen, let me say a word about that. Just real quick, listen. My father would pass away. My father's brother is an atheist. He'll tell you. He won't even let you pray in his house. We were at his house, and I got to get to pray. The Lord been moving. But this, I took him to play golf. We was at the hospital for 2 weeks with my daddy in there before they sent us home for him to die. And my uncle, my daddy's brother, was watching my father die this whole time. And I was praying with him. He'd walk out of the room, And he wouldn't even let you pray or listen to you say the name God or nothing like that. And this is the truth, preacher. It's how serious fooling around with these other preachers and right, buying their books and right, just listen. And I was wanting to witness my uncle, and I knew he wouldn't let me talk to him about the Lord. And I said, how about let's go play golf and get away from the hospital, and I'll take you to play golf. And that's 4 hours locked in I got with captive audience. Say, let's get away from this hospital. Let's just go play golf. You don't need to be looking at this. And let's just get away. And so we did. And we got there. And it's the truth. He knew I was going to talk to him about the Lord. And he called a friend of his. And he said, how about you ride with him? He said, I hadn't drank anything in 4 years. And I know you're a Christian and a preacher. And you won't want to be around this. I said, do you ride? I don't want to be around it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to see it. But I want to talk to you. He said, well, you just ride with him. And I said, okay. And I got in the cart with this guy I didn't know. But we were there together, cart with cart, got up on the tee box. And I just started witnessing to his friend out loud, real loud.
Yeah.
Like I was talking, I might as well have been talking to, I said, are you 100% sure you would die and go to heaven? And 30 minutes went by, four or five holes, six holes went by. And the subject came up, and I said, this pastoring business, there's more to pastoring than what most people believe. I said, I'm give slap out. And most people think it's just, you know, get up and preach two or three times a week for 30 minutes and speak and get your money and go home. And about that time, my uncle stepped in. He said, you're right about that. Most of them are 99% of them preachers are fake and phonies, but they are some real preachers like you. This is an atheist. Are you getting where I'm going? If he believes in real preachers and he can tell the difference between real men of God and fake men of God, He believes deep down there's a real God of the preacher and of the man of God. And if an atheist and a lost man has enough sense to see the difference between a real man of God and these lunatics and heretics out there, surely good Baptist Bible-believing folk ought to have better sense than that. Amen. You are one better than an atheist, I would hope. Well, I shared that for a reason. It matters. He said this. He said, and you ought to expose them. I said, I do. I said, I preach on the radio all over Georgia and South Carolina, and I call him by name. And his eyes got that big. He said, you do? I said, oh, yeah, I do. And when I got in the car with that other man, we went to the next hall. He said, you know, he talks about you all the time. He won't talk to my face about me. But all he talks about is that church down there and how proud he is. And there's something real going on down there in Georgia. Are you listening? It matters how you live at work. It matters how you live at home and at school. People are listening and looking. They may not say it with their mouth, but down in their heart, there's something churning, and it matters how we display and how we live our lives for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I wouldn't let a Joel Osteen book be seen on my dash of my car. I wouldn't put it in the dash of my car. And as far as America, moving on. We're in hard times. We're in cold, indifferent, perilous days. And the life of that God has blessed America with and has shed His grace on us, those days are over. Do I have your undivided attention? Being a Christian is no longer going to be an easy life. We have had a convenient, very, very catered to. God has blessed us, that, and we have taken the grace of God for granted. All around the world, folks are being persecuted, killed, martyred, and butchered for even naming the name Christ. And here we sit in America, and we come in on our padded pews, and I thank God for padded pews and air-conditioned buildings, and we have our suits and ties and Bibles, and listen to me. You say, well, you know, that's been that way a long time, so long that we have taken it for granted, but the days are getting short, and the days are getting dim and dark. And that song, the girls and Jenny were going to sing that. I've made up my mind. Really? Oh, yeah, that was what they've been singing it all week and all day long. And youth choir, hey, keep at it, keep at it. If you're going to live for Jesus and make it, you better make up your mind now. Just like Daniel prayed aforetime. He didn't wait till he got in the fire. He was praying before the fire got there. Well, listen, the fire is raging and roaring and nipping at us. And we're like, you know, just thinking we're going to avoid this. And I think that, you know, the judgment of God won't touch us. Well, listen, if it's touched every other kingdom before us and every other dominion and power and country before us, that, who do we think we are? Our churches are dying. Amen, that's right. It's hard to find real Christians anywhere anymore that will stick with it. And people love to say, oh, I'd let them put a gun to my head. That sounds a lot like Peter right before he denied and quit on God. It's easy to say, I'd die for you, Lord. Well, you're full of pride. And the truth is, like the preacher said, if you're not doing it now, I'm not doing it, you won't do it then. We talk a big, good game, don't we?
Yes, come on.
Well, the bullets ain't flying and the machetes ain't out yet.
That's it,
here.
Right.
If a sprinkle and a rain shower will keep you home, don't you think a machete will stop you? If the devil can whisper in your ear, don't you know you're tired? You've worked hard. You deserve to sit out one time. Skip this prayer session. Oh, yes, I'm so deserving. That's our mentality. That's what the flesh says. And listen to me. You won't find that in the life of the Apostle Paul. You won't find that in them early church Christians and those Christians who were under persecution. Persecution produces real power with God because it burns off all the dross and the fake and the false and the phony, and it produces what's real. Amen, that's right. And we are there. Our whole life, this preacher, I've heard it my whole life. I've heard preachers preach about perilous days are coming. Hard days are coming. And the Lord's coming. Listen, they're not coming. They're here. And we're not living in the last days. We're living in the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. And the Bible, the Word of God, God did not leave us in the dark about what we would be facing. He over and over and over again told us in the last days, perilous times would come, men would wax worse and worse, cold. Church era of the Laodicean church, a lukewarm crowd of people, neither cold nor hot, just satisfied with the temperature right on 70, cruising through life. And that's, if that's not where we're at, I don't know. Now, with that in mind, I know this is Jubilee, and hadn't we had a ball so far? I hope I've encouraged you in the Lord. Let me get my offering and we'll be done. Now, 1 John, take your Bible, 1 John, and Lord willing, last Sunday, preacher, you won't believe this, I preached 29 minutes. I did. I timed it. That's a miracle. 29 minutes. I made a promise to my church. I would cut the messages down on the time, try not to be repetitive and redundant. If they'd come back to church on Sunday night, I'd try to hold my end of the bargain. Well, I had a lot more people come back. I did. Might try that again. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, stand to your feet. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5. There, say amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. You can have a seat. We'll stop reading there this evening. And just for a few minutes, Lord willing, I want to deal and touch with this. And this has been mentioned all through the service about overcoming and overcoming things. Brother Silas mentioned it. Other areas of the service has dealt with this. And if I was to ask this evening, how is your life? If you was, you know, in the context and in the confines of your life and your home, you know yourself and your home and your situations, and I could come up here and just pour on you all of my troubles and pressures and problems, but we ain't got time for all that. This is Jubilee, but underneath the facade in your life, you know the pressure is on. You know the problems are really there. I don't have to come pull on your coattail and say, tell me about it, preacher. Are they there? Is it really hard in your area? It's hard. We're living in hard, dark, dangerous, perilous. I mean, hard. Listen, pressurized. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you not feel the pressure almost? It's like you're in a pressure chamber. Somebody put you in a pressure cooker. And that, like this young preacher, I guess you're a preacher, not a preacher, a young man testifying, you're missing a good opportunity to do what? Amen. Like he was saying, listen to me. He'd get up there and he'd get to testifying and he'd just... That's how I have to do in life. I feel like the pressure's on, like I'm building. Let it out. Well, sometimes it comes in the form of hitting a church member upside the head like, you nut, what are you? Them three girls back there, oh, they get some. have to let the pressure out. I'm kidding. Trying to get your attention. Are you listening? Wake up. Pressure, problems. We all face them. And don't let the devil lie to you and feel like you're the only one. Because he will. He'll say, poor, pitiful you. Look at what your God is doing to you. Where is your God? I mean, I have control over you. I'm putting it on and pouring it on. And where is your God now? You are not overcoming. You are being overcome. You are being overrun. Problems and pressures and this is too much, Lord. And Lord, you promised you wouldn't put more on me than I could bear. Well, that's a lie. The Bible don't say that. You'd be amazed at what people have said your whole life that's in the Bible that ain't. The Bible don't say anywhere that he will not put on more than you can bear. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, I was pressed beyond measure. That's what the Bible said. He won't put on you more than he can bear. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and he's the power that's in you. But in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when we get, there is, listen, Lord, give me this earlier, preacher. There is, in the Christian life, there is no limbo land where it's either faith or flesh. There is no in the middle. There is no lane that we can coast in the Christian life. We're either operating in the flesh or we're operating by faith. And if it's not by faith, then it's not pleasing to God. And when we step out of that zone, and what the verse say, they overcome by what? By faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I talk a lot about pressure and hard times, and I'm not going to spell all of them out for you. You know what you're facing. You know what you're facing. But I will tell you this. There is a life that's more abundant. There is a life that's better. There is a life that's more sublime and secure and amazing. Absolutely above that our flesh can produce. I'm talking about supernatural power from above. I'm talking about a God who will get down if you will access your faith and say, Lord, by faith, just like I did when you supernaturally saved me and give me, and I trusted you for eternal life. Lord, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling overrun and overcome. And my body's tired and my mind's tired and I'm worn down to a frazzle. And God, the God of all glory, will step right up into my life and I'll activate faith. And then I will realize I'm overcoming things I never dreamed I could overcome. Hey, it's amazing what the Lord will do operating by faith. In the flesh, when we kick it into that flesh side, man, we will make it. They're saying, fake it till you make it. There ain't a lick of truth in that. There is no such thing. Listen, there is nothing spiritual about faking. There's nothing phony about, in the same galaxy of spiritual, phony and fake, that's oxymorons, that's paradoxes. You better faith it until you make it. And that's what, when our faith turns to sight, we've made it. You faith it until you make it there. And then when that's over, there'll be new things to apply faith and to adjust your faith to and put attention to. And faith don't just happen. Faith is a choice. Are you listening? Do you wonder how in the Christian life, how am I ever going to overcome this? The same way you overcame being under the condemnation of God. I'd say that's a bigger problem many of us have put together. Being under the condemnation of a thrice holy God, and we had sinned against Him and did not have an answer for it. So we had to activate and make a... I hope I'm not preaching to a crowd who believes that God sovereignly picked y'all to go to heaven and y'all to go to hell. No, He quickened, the Spirit quickened our spirit, and we were able to make a choice by faith to receive or to reject. Salvation. Is that not the word of God? That we're saved by grace through faith, by faith. Amen. Well, if we're saved that way, then we will serve that way. And we'll go through sickness that way. And we'll go through struggles that way. We'll go through, amen, storms and trials. It has to be a life of faith if we're going to overcome it.
Amen.
That's right. Well, the definition of faith, of overcoming, is to conquer,
right,
to prevail, to win, to be the victor.
Right.
It's been mentioned in the service. Whose side are you on? Pick a side. Amen. Don't you want to prevail? Are there anything in your life that you could write down on a piece of paper this evening? If I could overcome this in my life, boy, I sure would like to. I guarantee that every person in this room, if you think and be honest with yourself, there's some areas in your life that you wish, oh Lord, I wish I could overcome this. Well, this is the reality. If you're not overcoming it, it's overcoming you. And if we're allowing it to overcome us, then we're operating in flesh. And the Lord, I'm not speaking of name it and claim it. I understand God's timing and stuff like that. But there's so much things in our life that we have just settled with and just settled down into our comfort zone and said, well, it must be that. I reckon it's just supposed to be that way. Well, no. There's victory to be won. There's areas in our life that we do not have to give ground and give place to and settle with. There is spiritual ground to gain. There is victories to be won. There's yards to go with God. There's new levels and new heights to obtain with God.
Yes,
amen, that's right. And the devil has lied to us, and our flesh has assured us the fact that we just got to live with the way things are. Well, that is absolutely not true. Ain't that the same lie the devil told you when you was lost? You just got to live this way. This is how it is. It's the best this world's got to offer. Drink it up, smoke it up, pill it up, do it up. Just get numb to it. Get numb to it. And put it off, and we'll deal with that later. The creditors, you know. Don't answer their phone calls. Amen. Well, there was an old account. Amen. Ain't you glad that account's been settled? How did it get settled? By faith. By grace through faith. Amen. Well, the same is true, and there's some things that we can win, that we can overcome. Somebody in the area, whatever area you need to overcome, somebody's going to win. There will be a winner. It's up to you. God's give you a volition. God's given me a will and a choice in it. And it's not like we don't have a choice in the matter. God has given us a choice. And to cowtail and to deny that is to accept the lie of the devil and say, well, it's out of my control. No, it's in your control. It's absolutely in your control. It's in my control. Spirituality, your preacher preaches this. I got this from him. Helps me daily. Yeah. Our spirituality is our responsibility.
Right.
And that is one, even in overcoming obstacles in our life. That's our choice. That ain't easy. I ain't gonna lie about it. That ain't no, hey, listen, you think about right now the biggest pressing, most pressurized area of your life that you wish. That thing that popped in your mind a while ago when I said, it was one thing you wish you could overcome. I don't have to name that. I don't need to know that. Please don't come up after the service and tell me that. I don't want to know. I got enough problems. I don't need yours. But there is a God in heaven who you can tell and who you can place faith in and say, Lord, this is bigger than me. This is broader than me. This is wider than me. Lord, this is overtaking me. This is overcoming in my life. And you said, we are more than conquerors. And you said, according to your word, that we can overcome. Well, activate faith in that area and say, God, you're bigger. I'm not big enough to face this, but Lord, you are. I was sitting there looking at my daddy, preacher, and sent him home from weeks at the hospital and weeks of watching it, my daddy just slowly dying. Then sent him home and there in a bed, having to bathe your father and clean your father. And it was just things I wouldn't wish on anybody. But I tell you, honest to goodness, somebody asked me, could I have done that before? There ain't no way in this world. I'd say, no, ain't no way. And I had brothers and I understand. I ain't mad at them. And they didn't want to do stuff like that. Not at all. Ain't nothing easy about doing that and watching your daddy sit there and pause 30 seconds between breaths and you think, well, is this the one and that going? And then start breathing again, for days and days and weeks and you're just hanging and your body's tired and dilapidated.
Yes, sir.
And your mind's wore down and you just become numb. And I was trying to stay spiritual and begging God, preacher, God, help me stay spiritual. I've got lost people watching me. I don't have to preach my father's funeral. My daddy's about to meet you, Lord, and I've got a family of drunkards and lost men and women that are watching me, waiting on me to fall and fail. And sure enough, the day before my daddy died, I mean, right out of nowhere, I was looking in all the right areas. I thought, Lord, if you help me here, help me here. Don't let me say nothing to him about this and that. And I mean, coming from where I never would have thought. When I was so tired at the end, I was just give out. I was sleeping an hour or two a day. I'd lost 17 pounds in 2 weeks. I was just drained. And mentally, physically, don't you know that's when the devil is praying and ready to pounce on you. And sure enough, I mean, from the sweetest person I about know, I never would have dreamed it. Right in front of my whole family. There my whole family come in at one time, and somebody spoke up, and before I even knew it, boy, it about coming. I said two or three words like, not cussing, don't look at me like I'm a heathen. I didn't cuss, goodness, they look at me like I'm a heathen. I don't cuss. Christians don't cuss. Goodness. And y'all got a bunch of cussers up here? I didn't cuss. I was just, like a dog, you know, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was about ready to, you know. Yeah. And I said, okay, I got to, and Lord help me. I mean, out of that, because I would have, if I'd have went on into it, I said, I got to go see y'all, and I love you, and I got out of that room. But I'm telling you, the devil will do that, put you right on the job with everybody watching, and he will, I mean, he'll get you tired mentally, physically, and then it may be your wife, it may be a child, it may be a brother, it may be a preacher, maybe, I'm telling you. What is it that's overcoming you that you just can't seem to get a handle on? Can be at home. Amen. It can be on the job. It can be money, be finances, be family. I was talking about my family. It can be church members. Why? I know Rogersville Baptist Temple is one of the greatest churches I know of. Seriously, we've got the greatest pastor in the world. I mean that. He's my pastor to me in the ministry. And if you don't look up to him and follow his leadership, you are a nut. I mean that. God has given you the best man of God. I've heard preachers all over the country. They don't come no better than that right there. They don't come no better than that. And you better follow. And the Lord put me under his ministry years ago. And I have tried to follow and watch. I'm not kidding. I mean that from my heart. And I said, Lord, I want what that man's got. And when I think about Rogersville Baptist Temple, I think, Brother Silas, this is the... I remember the first time we came, I walked through that door and something about run me over, just taking the offering up or something. They was having Brother Craig about run me over, having a running spell. And I thought, this is heaven just right here in Rogersville. They ain't a problem one. They have overcome it all. There's nothing that Brother Pastor Barry Rackley has not dealt with. And it's all plush and nice and neat. And all sin has been vanquished and taken away. And all things are... Well, I don't know the details. I don't know. I've just known y'all and him long enough to know and been in the ministry long enough to know there is no place that exists like that in this world. Everything looks so peachy and cream. I mean, tonight it looks wonderful. And y'all look so spiritual, but y'all are a bunch of wicked, dirty dogs. And y'all have problems just like I have problems. And y'all feel pressure just like I feel pressure. And life is hard. And it feels like we're just being overrun. Overcome. And I love the new, I love the new beauty in the church. Ain't that a blessing? How God's blessed. And that's wonderful. I think God's house should be the best looking place in town. I admire that. I applaud that. But I tell you, listen, I thought this place was, seriously, second to none, to heaven. Heaven, then RBT, close. I thought that. And hey, your preacher ain't told me nothing about you personally. I have been around the country enough and around churches enough to learn people and to learn crowds and wish I was there and wish I was yonder and think and ponder and wonder. Oh boy, get the green grass syndrome. You know, and the devil, I promise you this, will tell you the church up the road is nicer and better. And I guarantee you are a bona fide nut if you ain't going, if you are in driving distance of here and then some. You ought to be at this church. Unless you are a pastor and go to another church. And I know you got other preachers here tonight. I didn't mean that. No offense. I feel an ecumenical movement coming together. No, I'm kidding. Overcoming. Right, we're about done. Listen. John 16:33 says this. John 16:33. Let me give you this scripture. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Ain't you glad we're not serving an anemic, just droopy, lazy God that gets tired and wore out and weary? Ain't you glad that Jesus is seated and at the right hand of the Father and making ever liveth to make an intercession for us? Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit is praying for you? Ain't you glad, God, that we just celebrated the resurrection of the Lord? Buddha can't say that. Muslims can't say that. But we can celebrate. I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. That's him talking. He said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Things gonna get hard. I ain't gonna lie to you about it. Life ain't always easy.
Right.
And any preacher like old Smiley that'll tell you that, they're telling you a big fat pile of lies. And that stuff will feel good and make you feel good about long enough to get you out of church and get you in a mess. And next thing you know, you'll be saying, well, I can just watch him from at home. Oh, I could run a rabbit there, but I won't. Be careful. I praise the Lord for shut-ins and people that can't go to church, and I mean can't go to church. And these ministries where people have this, you know, live showing stream. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a bunch of people who milk that. They milk it. And I tell you, God's keeping record of that. And if you can be here, preacher said, quoted the verse earlier, forsake not the assembling. Assembling of ourselves together. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus overcome the world, and he said, be of good cheer. Romans, listen to this verse quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse number 16. Listen to this. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Oh, I bet you just practiced that this week, didn't you? We real good Christians. I bet we fed our enemies this week, didn't we? We will barely feed our friends, much less our enemies.
Right.
You know the flesh don't like to do that. That's what the Bible, listen to it. That's still the Bible. You believe John 3:16 on just same book we're reading out of. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Listen, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I wonder if it's a family member, a friend, a relationship, or whatever. You fill in the blank that's overcoming you, whether it's a person, whether it's personal. I've been counseling people, I keep saying this, and I'm going to quit saying it, Brother Silas. I'm beginning to quit being amazed at the things people will do. And I say, well, I've seen it all. No, I hadn't. Well, I've seen it all. I'll say that again. And then, sure enough, one of my church members will prove me wrong. And the people that I put the most stock in and thought, well, if anybody is making it, buddy, that's them right there. You can bank on them. They are doing it. And then I got a phone call the day my daddy died. I walked out. One of my church members called me, one of the most faithful members I have, I thought, and said, me and my wife split up. I can't take it. She no more than she don't want to be a member. I'm talking about a family, got kids. And there I am for 2 hours. I'm needing to be there with my family, helping my family. And there I was, and I mean, you don't just punt the phone and say, well, deal with it. Well, by the grace of God, they counseling through the phone and got back, drove back and forth. They back together to God be the glory. But listen, I'm saying if that could happen to the cream of the crop, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. I promise you, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, and we can't trust our flesh an inch. We will get vindictive toward people. We will hold grudges and get mad and oh, don't you know? And that's when our flesh overruns us. And remember what I said at the beginning of the message. There's only two tracks. It's not railroad tracks. Flesh or faith. And if you own flesh, you are not overcoming. It will overrun you like a locomotive. Life will.
Right.
It'll wear you down. It'll beat you down. And you will never beat it. Right. You may think you're getting the edge. But I promise you, in the flesh, you are not gaining ground. You are losing. Right. On that other track is faith. And if you will, on purpose, say, Lord, I choose that. I'm making a decision. I'm by faith, Lord, I'm tired of letting this overrun me, overcome me. Whether it's a person, a problem, you fill in that blank, that's personal to you.
Right.
But whatever it is that's been overrunning and overcoming you, know that it's a fact you can overcome it. By faith,
right,
you can overcome a situation, a person, a problem, anything that's overcoming you. Ain't that a blessing? You don't have to live where you're living. Ain't you glad?
Amen.
You don't have to live with it the way it's been. It can get better. It won't get better if you keep doing the same thing. Trying the same way.
Yes, sir.
The same tactics.
Amen, preacher.
If something's going to change, it'll start with you.
Right.
Making a decision. Lord, this is bigger than me.
Yep.
And I need help.
Even
the AA programs have figured that much out. They know that's the truth. They know the first step of getting help is admitting you got a problem.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And boy, we as Baptists, we have become professional at thinking we got things under control. That in reality, it is overrunning and overtaking us. And we say, oh, that's too petty to bother God. I got this. When really it's running right over us. It's overtaking us. It keeps us up at night. It bothers us. It hinders and hampers our life. You don't have to live that way. There is power and peace. I'm living proof of that. I promise you. Only by the grace of God and making I made some choices by the grace of God to go a different direction. And I can make a choice tomorrow and go back the other direction and be in a mess and lose everything God's ever given me, every level God's ever let me go. But I promise you this, if you make right decisions and you trust God and you live by faith, you will overcome.
Amen.
You'll overcome things you never dreamed you could. Amen. Well, to God be the glory. Faith is the agent that activates God's power. It's going to take faith, active, on-purpose faith, in His Word and His ways and His will and His wisdom to overcome those things that have been overtaking
yes,
you.
Amen.
The same faith is required in salvation. It's required in sanctification. It's required in life. More to become an overcomer in our daily sanctification. Listen to this. I'm done. Not everybody will overcome. Matter of fact, the majority won't. Most people will die with the trouble that's ailed them their whole life. That's scriptural. Read your Bible, the children of Israel. How many made it into Canaan? And go on through. Most people, what did Jesus say? Preacher alluded to this earlier. Broad. He wanted to be in the straight and the narrow. What did Jesus say? There's going to be just a few. There's just going to be just a remnant in the narrow. Living right. How many people you really know sold out to God? How many daddies could really be the high priest of their home and conduct prayer meeting and the word? I'm not going to get into that. I can't. I've been studying that too, preacher. You are right on it. Well, Lord, help us. And don't expect the Lord just to do it all. He requires us to do some. Like choose Him in the situation. Say, Lord, I can't, but You can. Well, if it's going to be done, God will do it. No. You got to make a choice. Lord, this is an issue. I agree with You. This is an issue. I admit, Lord, this is bigger than me. It's overtaken, overrunning. Ruling in my life.
Yes.
Who's controlling it? Do you have control of it? Or does He?
Right.
Take your hands off and let God have it. And make a choice. Say, Lord, I can't handle it no more. I'll take my hands off. It's Yours. And You do with it whatever You will. As long as You'll take it and quit letting it rule over me and overrun me. He will do it. Amen?
Right.
Overcoming. Ain't you glad? We can be overcomers.
Right.
Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.